Please keep your Bible open at 1 Corinthians 12. If you have not turned there, you might take a Bible. There are some in the pews. And turn to 1 Corinthians 12, from which our lesson will come this morning. We are grateful that you are here. There are many visitors in our midst. We welcome you. We hope to get to meet you after the service, and we hope that you will come back and be with us again. The human body, as the Bible says, is marvelously and wonderfully made. I think even the doctors never cease to be amazed at the functions of the human body. It is a wonderful creation. It is a great unit. And it is that human body that Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 12. As he wants us to understand the wonderful body of Jesus Christ, how it is marvelously made, and wonderfully put together. In the last part of verse 12, notice the four words, "So also is Christ." That indicates to us that what he's been talking about, particularly in the earlier part of this verse, has reference to the physical body. And now he's going to make a comparison. Jesus was a master teacher in that way. He took ideas and concepts with which people were familiar and helped them to understand that with which they were not so familiar. The Apostle Paul does that also, and particularly in this passage. He is showing in verse 12, in the first part of it, that the body, the human body, is one, hath many members. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body. And then he says, so also is Christ. And then he shows how we get into the body of Jesus Christ in verse 13. And then comes back in verse 14 and begins to talk about the body, the human body again, to help us to understand this body of Jesus Christ and the unity and oneness, common concern and encouragement, mutual encouragement that must be in that body. For just a few minutes this morning, I want us to think about the body. Each one of us has some understanding of the human body. Each one of us has some understanding of how it is put together, how important each member is, how it is a unit, and how it functions. And if we can understand that, Paul is saying here, we ought to be able to understand the Lord's body. We ought to be able to understand the church for what it is. I want us to see three things this morning in this passage. In the first place, that the body is one. There is but one body. There are problems when there's the birth of Siamese twins. We have been listening just this week to a situation that is of that nature, where parents are having to make decisions, and apparently it's impossible for both of these to live, and even the government is involved in trying to make a decision because there were two bodies joined together when they were born. And there's a problem when that takes place. We all understand how important it is when a baby is born for there to be the one body and there to be the complete body. And if something is lacking, there is a problem. If there's some part that's not functioning right, there is a problem. We understand that. We know that. So Paul says, with your knowing that, take that idea and then think in terms of the body as you're thinking about the church, as you're thinking about Christ. There is but one body. You may remember that in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians at verse 10, Paul admonished them that there be no divisions among them. And he talked to them about how there was a tendency to follow after certain men, some saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. And he emphasized after that how important it was to not go in different directions, not try to be of different types of Christians, but to all be one in Christ and to all be in that same unit. And he continues through that, and particularly here in chapter 12, emphasizes the oneness of the body. Notice, for example, in verse 12, he says the body is one. But also in verse 12, he says there is one body. And in verse 13, he says, as he applies this in the spiritual sense, we're baptized into one body. And in verse 20, he says, there are many members, yet but one body. Four times in 1 Corinthians 12. Twice in verse 12, once in verse 13, and once in verse 20, he says, there is one body. And once in verse 12, he says, the body is one. But four times, there is one body. There are six other times in the New Testament where this same statement is made. These same two words are used together, one body. In 1 Corinthians 10:17, there is one bread and one body. In Romans 12:4-5, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, then we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Twice in that passage. In Ephesians 2:16, God hath reconciled both Jew and Gentile. He's reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Right between the idea of reconciled to God and by the cross is that little statement, in one body. And I know you are familiar with Ephesians 4:4, where among the seven ones, he says there is one body. And at Colossians 3:15, we are called in one body. Four times in 1 Corinthians 12, six other times, making 10 times in the New Testament, that the Word of God says there is one body. Folks, this idea that we try to promote of oneness in Christ and unity in Christ, and to try to stand against division and try to bring us all together, not where we are necessarily, but where Christ is, and to stand together on Him, is not some idea that is man-made, that is thought up by man. It is just as biblical and as scriptural as it can be. There is but one body. Ephesians 1:22 clearly identifies that body as the church. Hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And two other times at Colossians 1:18 and Colossians 1:24, the statement is made that the church is the body. 10 times there's one body, 3 times the church is the body. And one time here in our text of 1 Corinthians 12, he says there's only one. Look at verse 20. There are many members, yet but one body. There is but one. There is only one. That is exactly what that is saying. That is not to say that we think we are better than someone else. That is not to say that we think we have the only way to heaven. It's not we who have the only way to heaven. It is God who has the only way to heaven. It is not that I have a church or you have a church or that we have the church. It is that Christ died for the church and that it belongs to Him. It is His body. And there is but one. And we need to be just as convinced today as we have ever been that the restoration plea of going back to the Word of God and being that one body of Jesus Christ, not coming together where I want to be or you want to be or someone else wants to be, but coming together on the Word of God where God wants us to be, is a plea that is right and needed today. There is but one body. But I want you to notice in the next place that every member in that body is important. And I'm not for sure that we have come to emphasize this as much as we have the previous point. Although he talks about the body as one, it is amazing how many of the verses here talk about the specific members of the body. Just glance for a moment, beginning at verse 15. The foot, the hand, 16, the ear, the eye, the smelling. On and on he goes down through those verses till he gets even down to the end of the chapter, and he talks about all these particular members of the body. And in some of these verses, particularly on down about verse 23, 24, and 25, he has reference particularly to those little members of the body and those that seem to be unimportant. Maybe members that are not even recognizable. He says these are important, and sometimes God has made it so that some of those least little organs in the body may be more important than those that are bigger. And you and I know from experience and observation, as we think about the physical body, how sometimes just a little gland or a little part of the body that seems to be unimportant quits functioning and the whole body suffers, and sometimes death comes about. He's emphasizing that every member is important. In both 14 and 20, he says there are many members. Perhaps we do not appreciate that in the church here. We have so many members, so many good people, so many talented people that we may tend to take that for granted. And we forget that there are places on the world today where the church is meeting this morning maybe with just two or three or four or five people. The congregation where I held my first gospel meeting is now meeting with about six or eight people on Sunday mornings. The community has gone down, very few people there, but they're still meeting. I think we forget the importance of many members, just like we take for granted the many members that we have in this physical body, with each one of them functioning and each one of them having a part, having an important part. And he says every one of those members is in the body. As we look at verse 18. And then at verse 22, he says even the feeble members are necessary. And you may be reading a version that says the weaker members are indispensable. Think about that word, indispensable. Here's what happens sometimes. We tend to think that we are not important. Each one of us may get to the point of thinking, well, I'm just a name. I'm just a person in the crowd. I'm not important. Paul says we need to understand that even the weaker members are indispensable. You cut off one finger, it can affect the entire body. My grandson broke his little finger the other day playing football. The doctor will not let him play football the rest of the year. He just broke one little finger. But it has affected his situation for several weeks because that little finger cannot function. It doesn't seem to be that important. But when it's not functioning, it's very, very important. And there are some glands in the body that are almost microscopic. When they quit functioning, the body suffers. Every member is important. Verse 24 says, God has tempered the body, composed the body, combined the body. He didn't just haphazardly put this body together. When he took that dust and made Adam, he knew what he was doing. He knew what would be needed. And isn't it amazing that thousands and thousands of years later, our bodies are basically the same as Adam's was? And whether it's someone on the other part of the other side of the globe or this side of the globe, they're basically the same. Look at the Olympics that are taking place. There are athletes that stand up side by side in a race. They are from thousands of miles apart, and yet basically, they have exactly the same bodies, the same body parts, and every member of that body is important. The success of this congregation, the success of every congregation, is recognizing that every member is important. Letting every member function. And sometimes that's not possible unless every member wants to function. There are a lot of members in my body that I don't have to ask to function. They go ahead and function anyway because each one of them knows what its function is, the way God put it there, and it just goes ahead. And we've got to come to that point in the church, folks, where we realize that whoever we are important, And many times we need to go ahead and be involved in the Lord's business in every way that we can, looking for ways to serve, instead of sitting back and waiting for someone to ask us. Every member is important in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is but one body, physically, spiritually, but every member in that body is important. And number three is really the important part, and that is that the members are to care for one another. It's amazing sometimes to hear what some members of the church will say about other members of the church. Can you imagine my body functioning like that? Can you imagine my hand picking up something that's sharp and punching out my eye? Or cutting off my ear? Or mashing a finger on the other hand? No, that's not the way it works. What happens is, if I happen to get a little speck in my eye, I immediately will rush to it with my hands. My eyelids will immediately close. And if something happens to this hand, if I hurt a finger, without even thinking, I'll reach over and grab it with this hand. Or if something happens to one of my legs, I'll reach down to help. And when some of you break a foot or an ankle, what happens? You use crutches where the hands and the arms become involved in helping to take the place of what the foot was doing. That's the way it ought to be in the body of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he's discussing from about verse 21 on down through verse 25, 26. He says there's no schism in the body. There's no division. There's no lack of unity in the body. You don't have to beg the members to work together. They just work together. And there are many things that I can lift using both hands that I can't lift using one. And if I start to lift something with this hand and have difficulty, I don't have to take the time to turn around and beg this hand to come to help. It just automatically does it. Because it cares about the other, you see. There's no division within the body that's put together and tempered together. That's what he says God did. God tempered it together. That's the way he wanted it to be. To where it would just more or less automatically rush in the sense of each member helping one another. And there is to be the same care one for another, he says in verse 25. In fact, Galatians 6 says we're to have a special interest in those that are in the household of faith. We're to do good unto all men, but especially those who are the household of faith. Even God knew that within this body, the body of Jesus Christ, there is a special relationship. If that special relationship is not there, we have problems. In verse 26, he says, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members are to rejoice with it. I had an experience this last week that brought tears to my eyes. And it's something that I've told you about in our work and talked about before. I was called back to Tullahoma for a funeral last Tuesday. 84-year-old lady who'd been a member of that congregation for years and years and years. A large family, 6 children, many, many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, a large audience because of that. But do you know, out of the congregation there where I used to preach and where she was a member, the local preacher helped in the service and the secretary came and there was not another member of the church at that funeral. I was appalled. You mean we don't have time to care for one another? Perhaps, now listen to this, perhaps we would do less reaching outside the church to find our needs met if we did a better job in the church of meeting our needs. Perhaps we would not be hungry and hurting as much for someone to care outside the body of Christ, if we had the kind of care that he's talking about inside the body of Christ right here. Oh, I believe with all my heart that there is but one body. But I also believe the same passage teaches that within that body, every member is important. And every member is to care one for another. We not only need to proclaim the oneness of the body, folks, we need to be the one body of Jesus Christ in a way that there is no mistake and no mistaken idea when people look at us and see what we are with one another and the care that we have for one another. I believe that's what 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about. The oneness of the body that becomes a part of us and is practiced where we understand it and where others can see it. And when we have that, we'll be the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. But did you notice throughout this entire lesson, as we've talked about the members of the body, that every member is in that body? And if things are like they ought to be, every member is functioning in that body. Therefore, it is fitting that we take just a moment to remind you that if you've not been baptized into Christ, you're not in that body. And encourage you to believe in that unity of the body and that Christ who is the head of it. Be penitent and come to be baptized, as indicated there in verse 13, into that one body to be a part of it. And if you've not had the love and concern for others and have not been a functioning part of that body, you need to come back and be reunited and get in your place and be active in your place. And that may involve asking for prayers of the church. The body is one. Every member is important. And every member needs to care for every other member, and every one of us needs to be in that body in functioning. If you're not, come as together, we stand and sing.